Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them, even as you have loved me.
Good morning. So we just sang together with one voice. We want to praise the Lord, and with one heart we want to live out his word so that the whole earth may see that the Redeemer has come. So this morning it's about our oneness in Christ and its gospel witness to the world. I mean, after all, it's all very well Jesus telling his disciples in the room that they are to be one and live to the glory of Jesus. But surely us now living in the 21st century, that's all different. So the word of Christ can cover the disciples in the room, but the Lordship of Jesus and his word doesn't cover us. Different time. Biblical truth, we're told, today is not enough for churches. A church leader was saying to his church that he had intended to do some teaching leading up to Easter and some of the things that he was going to cover. And he said, part of the material will talk about sin. He faced stiff resistance. We should not be talking about sin in the 21st century. This is a product of religious oppression. We want to be a welcoming church, and we will just make it unsafe. That's the quotation. Unsafe. For our culture. It underlines to us, my friends, that if we're going to be faithful to Jesus and to the Bible, the truth that we believe in, to some extent, is controversial. And we just have to accept that. And there's no way around it. Well, not any faithful way around it. In these verses 20 to 23, Jesus is praying now for his church in all ages. He prays for all who will believe in the apostolic message. And Jesus is envisaging that his church will essentially be the same in every age, in every culture, in every generation. Our identity as church does not change. It may look slightly different in some ways, of course it might, but the essential identity of the church is always the same, or it's not the church. And I remind you again that this is the ongoing prayer of our great high priest. What do you think he's praying over us today as he prays over us right at this minute? Well, he's praying these things, isn't he? So, three things to consider this morning. Truth number one. The church is always to be gospel-centered. The church is always to be gospel-centered. Verse 20. I pray not only for them alone, that's the men in the room. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. Jesus sees that the witness of the church over the years to the gospel will be effective. Right through the centuries, right until this present moment and time and beyond. Let's therefore not doubt the power of the gospel. It's easy to do that, isn't it? The climate is changing. The pressures are coming. It's easy to say, well, we'll just change the truth. No, we don't do that. That's not faithful to Jesus. We believe in the power of the gospel to transform people's lives in the 21st century. And the message that we've been given is a good news message. It comes from Jesus, and it's all about Jesus. And the men in the room were commissioned to write it down under the spirit of truth. And what you have is the entire, therefore, New Testament. And what the New Testament has to say about Jesus is foundational and definitive. In other words, my friends, if we do not believe the same things as the men in the room, we're not the church. This is a historical faith. In other words, my friends, when Jesus said finished on the cross, he didn't anticipate that the church would say, well, we'll have done with that word and that great work on the cross. Will alter it for the 21st century. And Jesus is truly revealed in the gospel. He says so. In order that we might believe today. That we may trust in Jesus for salvation. There's only one person through whom we can be saved and put right with God. And it's through Jesus alone. Just saying that makes me controversial in a multicultural Britain. So let us be clear, the church is always to be gospel-centered. Jesus said so. Second truth. The gospel-centered church is to be one. The gospel-centered church is to be one. Church unity is important for a credible witness to the world. Jesus is saying that in this passage. And the reality of division is easily pointed out, isn't it? And part of the thinking today is we don't want any precise thinking about Jesus and the gospel. That just produces division. But my friends, Jesus is very precise in his thinking here. That all of them, he says, may be one, Father, just as you are in me, and I am in you. That's very precise, isn't it? As you are in me, God the Father and the Son, in close unity. And underlines that that is the pattern for the church. And that is precise. But what does this unity look like? It has got three aspects to it. A, it's got an eternal unity. After all, my friends, don't want to labour the point, but God precisely knows who he is. God is not vague about who he is he? And through the gospel, through the Lord Jesus, through believing in him, we've been brought into a relationship with the God who is always and eternally in relationship. We must follow the thinking here. And through Jesus, the sent one, we are brought into this eternal relationship. This is our life together. This is our eternal life together. 1724 tells us, as we will see at the end of the month, that Jesus wants us to see his glory and be with him forever, the glory that he had with the Father before the creation of the world. We are in union with this Christ And this Christ is eternally man now. And so as we are in union with Jesus, so we are in union with the Godhead. And our oneness must reflect that. We have an eternal unity which is glorious. But secondly, in this case, it's a gospel unity. Yes, it is about love, as we will see. But this unity is based on revealed and written truth. This unity is based on revealed and written truth. And the apostles who were in the room, the commissioned foundational teachers, were to write down everything about Jesus and the Spirit, and therefore about the Father. And that would reveal to us who we are, essentially, as human beings who follow Jesus. In other words, the church is Christ's truth center. Not just his love center, yes, we'll get to that, but it is his truth center. This is an arrogant claim in the 21st century Western world. And yet, my friends, we must hold to it. The gospel is precisely written because Christ wanted it that way. The Spirit of Truth superintended the men who wrote so they would write accurately and reliably. So what is the gospel? The gospel is that the sent one, the Lord Jesus Christ, came into this world to save us, to set us free, to bring us to God, to forgive us our sins, so that we might have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The Bible reflects the character of the God who gave it. The Bible reflects the character of the God who gave it. And so if we want to know precisely who God is, we must reckon with a precise set of scriptures. It's a gospel unity. And thirdly, it's a visible unity. It's a unity that not only must be heard, but it must also be seen, as we will see in a minute. The glory that Jesus has given to the church is himself. And this relationship that we have with the triune God. He repeats it in verse 22. I in them and you in me. This needs to become visible. So that's my third truth as we finish. We have here a better gospel story through the church. A better gospel story through the church. We are commissioned to proclaim the good news about Jesus. I think it is a glorious truth to proclaim and massively positive, but it is incredibly controversial. Jesus is the only way to God. There is no other way to God. There is no other way to be right with God, to be accepted by God, to have an eternal relationship with God. So the gospel needs not only to be declared, but it needs also to be seen. And that's part of what now Jesus is saying. And he says it in two ways. That our hidden life in God is to be made visible. We've been brought into this fellowship with Jesus so that the world might believe that Jesus has been sent into this world. The controversial truth about Jesus, and it was controversial in his day, he was murdered on a cross because of it, needed to be seen. The transforming power of the gospel needed to come home. The big truth about Jesus needed to be seen in transforming power in relationships within the church. We are indeed here for the exclusive use of God. And we need to get that thinking much more deeply into our minds. May they also be one in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. In other words, our life together must show that we belong to the Godhead. Our hidden life must become visible. And secondly, God's love for us in Christ will therefore also appear. He says so in verse 23. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete or perfect unity. Then the world will know that you have sent me and have loved them even as I have loved you, as you have loved me. Yes, we are the truth center, but we're also the love center. And so, therefore, we are those, on the basis of the finished work of Christ, who are loved by God, and that love should show itself increasingly amongst us. And so, therefore, we should have a genuine compassion for each other, and gentleness, and faithfulness, and forgiveness, and a building up of each other. We should be seen to be flourishing under the loving rule of Jesus. Different cultures, yes. Different temperaments, yes. But one in Christ. A oneness that the world can't explain. This is the better story of the gospel, experienced by us on a regular basis and therefore seen through us by those who see us. And this, of course, is an ongoing reality. It's not perfect, we know that. But nonetheless, we are those who are truly in a right relationship with God. We are loved by him. And though we're not perfect, we point people away from ourselves so that they can see Jesus and be welcomed by him. See, the world is now saying something, isn't it? Quote, I come as I am, and I must stay as I am. I come as I am to the church, and I remain as I am. The first part is true. Come as you are. But Jesus is not going to leave us the same. He didn't die for that reality. We are those who have that light, and we must shed that light into the world. Listening to Tom Daly, the diver who won gold, he was challenging the dark nations from his, what he thinks is an enlightened position. And he was trying to spread the light from his position, but he was only really underlining darkness. We have the light. We are to shed the light of the gospel into people's lives. And part of that light is our relationship together as we love God in Christ. This is the better story. Let us pray.